Daniel Vishnupad, Padamahamsa Bhadavikacharya, Asatarasata Shri Shri Maharaj's Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Shri Prabhupada Ki. Daniel Vishnupad, Padamahamsa Bhadavikacharya, Asatarasata Shri Shri Maharaj's Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada Ki. Lati Gauri Vaishnavendi Ki. Namacharya Shri Hare Rasta Kurki. Rain Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadharj Vasagor Bhakti Vin Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gogo Gopinal Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gidigobran Ki, Grantara Shri Mad Bhagavatam Ki, Here's the Holiness Bhakti Tikta Swami Maharaj Ki, Shri Navadip Dampakram Mahotsava Festival Ki, Shri Gopranim Festival Ki, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Jagra Ki, Shri Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Itai Gaur Prem Anandi. All glories to the symbol devotees. All glories to the symbol devotees. All glories to the symbol devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gaur. So today is a, of course, every day is a very auspicious day when you're in Holy Nam. But today we have so many extra special. We have some activities occurring at the same time. The Navadip Dham Parikram has been going on, and it's been building up enthusiasm and steam. I was able to participate in 3 days. Surprisingly, the first time I've been able to participate in it. I've only been a Gopinath 3 times, first in 1977. I felt ill, so I wasn't able to go. Next time was about 2006. Another problem. I was sick a little bit this time, but I kind of persevered. I was thinking, okay, today I will finish it. But I don't know how someone other, Krishna, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, they're pretty tricky individuals. So I don't know how it is I'm sitting here speaking to you all, but anyway. Knowing it was, I don't know how I let that slip my mind about Bhakti Tirtha's appearance today. I knew it was coming. I usually work off an organizer, but it broke on Parikram. So anyway, I'm here. I prepared one class. Found out later on, need to speak about my life. So it's going to be a little more spontaneous, not so much scripted. It would have been much better to do. So please bear with me. But anyway, thank for you all for staying. There's still time. Also, the devotees will not arrive, I think, in yoga pit until about 11 o'clock. So we can at least honor Bhakti Tirtha. Take some that mercy with us to the Parikram. How many people here are from Eastern Bloc countries? Russia, Bulgaria, those places. Raise your hand. Okay, most of them are. But anyway, he's one of the pioneers in preaching. So by his perseverance, most of us are here today. So it's nice to show some honor and get some blessings from our so that we can also contribute to the spreading of the Krishna consciousness. And my name is Siki Mihidi, the devotee joined about 1974, mostly performing a lot of small services, Bhakti Bhagavati distribution in the early days, that was very important to Prabhupada, small books, sometimes in the airport. And I went with Maharaj to Africa in 1980, was there in and out from 80 to 82 in West Africa. I was in Kenya briefly, 82 and 83. After that, mostly engaged in working outside and helping in Atlanta and some places. Most recently, I was in New Vietnam for 1 year as president, but you know, working with the board, not really in charge of it in that sense. Currently trying to, again, engage in some full-time service. This is why I'm Prabhupada initiated first and second. I got my second year, as a matter of fact, in 1977. And I have a nice little pastime with Bhakti Tirtha that kind of helped me fulfill one of my desires to get into Prabhupada's room, which is a very difficult thing to do at that time. I mentioned some, I'm going to talk about some of those pastimes, maybe not in the book, some little personal experiences and realizations, and how that can enthuse us also to continue this mission. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya. Vainam namaskritya. Namcharanarotaram. Devim sasatim yasam. Kuturam girayat. Natsapareshu adureshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavaduttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati nashtati. Shunvata svakata krishna. Punya shravana kirtanam. Viryanam sohi bhadrani. Vidyunati sritsitam. So we're continuing Sri Radha Madhava Asta Shakti's Keep. The pastime of Guru Maharaj goes back to Godhead. So this is fitting. We're not sure, maybe Maharaj went back to Godhead, or maybe he went on to continue preaching. We don't know. Maybe he's someone's son, you know. So a comment was made the other day by Lokanath Maharaj, no, Jai Pataka Maharaj. He said how Prabhupada said to him that some of his disciples actually come from Brahmaloka just to participate in his movement. So you never know who's amongst us there. My book is missing. Oh, there it is. So we're doing text 38 and 39, which I don't know, we could have just the 38, but anyway, they have 39 down here, so we'll chant the Sanskrit for verse 39. Gambira Jagamini Sam Joyti Sam Chakra Ahitam Yasmin Bamati Koravya Medyameva Kavanganaha Gambiradeka Ninasam Jyotisam Chakram Ahitam Yasmin Bhamati Kauravya Vidyam Eva Gavangana Gambiradeka Ninasam Jyotisam Chakram Ahitam Yasmin Bhamati Kauravya Vidyam Eva Gavanganaha Maharajas Gambira Vidyam Gambira Vega, with great force and speed. Ani Nisam, unceasingly. Joy to some of luminaries. Chakram Spear. Well, let's go back a little bit more. Can anyone see them? All right, can you please pull it back? Come on, you have to. Sometimes I can sit, sometimes I can't. I had surgery here. Joy Kisam of luminaries. Chakram spheres. Ahitam connected. Yasmin, around which Brahmiti encircles. Gloria, Ovidura, Medyam, a central pole. Eva, as Gavam, of bulls. Gana, a herd. Translation. Saint Maitreya continued. My dear Vidura, descendant of Kuru, as a herd of bulls circumambulates the central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universe, universal sky, unceasingly circumambulate the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Each and every planet within the universe travels at a very high speed. From a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that even the sun travels 16,000 miles in a second. Try to comprehend it. That's 1 second, 16,000 miles. That's, I guess you could say, the equivalent of going from Mayapur to San Francisco. That would be nice. Instead of taking 20 hours on the airplane, you know, sitting in cramped seats, coming through that road. It's inconceivable. And from Brahma Samhita, we understand from the sloka, Yachakshar Esha Sevata Sakala Grahana, that the sun is considered to be the eye of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Govinda. And it also has a specific orbit within which it circles. Similarly, all other planets have their specific orbits. But together, all of them encircle the pole stars, or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is situated at the summit of the three worlds. I believe astronomers also recognize this is the same pole star, correct? Someone correct me if I'm wrong. That you see the brightest star when you look at night. So this is what was awarded to Dhruva Maharaj. Prabhupada goes on to say, we can only imagine how highly exalted the exact the actual position of the devotee is. Krishna would give him such an exalted planet. And certainly, we cannot even conceive how exalted is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Tamiranjasa Dhananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuna Tamina Tasmai Shri Dhananayama Shri Chaitanya Namo Bhistam Stapi Tamina Bhutale Swaya Rupa Vidatmaya Vidatasam Vidatasam Vancha Kalpa Turbiya Shah Kupa Sindhu Deva Chah Pati Tana Bhavan Vya Vaishnava Dhamo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Dharadha Shri Vasthi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Everybody surrender. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So some initial points here. We see here the statements in Bhagavatam stating that the sun is travels 6,000 miles in a second, and that it is circumambulating the pole star. So, of course, modern scientists, they don't accept this. Is everything circumambulating the sun? So many people you'll find will immediately want to dismiss us. All you people are just sentimentalists. You believe in this mythology given here, in these old ancient texts which can't help anyone anymore. What happened to that civilization? But why shouldn't we believe the scientists? Have they traversed the entire universe and seen these things? 200-300 years ago, people were arguing, was the world round, was it flat? Wasn't it? Matter of fact, sailors were warned, don't sail past this particular point, you will fall off the earth. And there are, you see these ancient maps of sea monsters waiting to gobble you up. So their knowledge is based on their imperfect understanding. As we know from the scriptures, it states that the divinities were inherited with imperfections. One of those imperfections is we're sure to commit mistakes. Have you ever met anyone who has never made a mistake? Ever? You see in history, the greatest people who achieve such wonderful feats create small miscalculations and lose everything. We are subject to illusion. You can sometimes look in the distance or maybe hear a sound or something at night and you may think, oh my God, there's something coming to eat me or there's some problem there. Just to discover it's a piece of paper being blown around by the fan. Our senses are imperfect and limited. Just like now we're sitting here listening to this class, and I know many of us, even myself, thinking, oh, the prickaram is going on. I wonder what they're doing. Who's speaking? Lokanath Maharajas. There's so many Maharajas. We have this seeking Hiri up on the stage. Who is he? Thousands of devotees chanting. So if you have perfect senses, you can go to both. When you're in that perfectional stage. Like Sanjaya, you see, Dhritarasa is blind. Physically blind and materially blind also. And Sanjaya is speaking to him. Oh, this is what's happening on that battlefield. Of course, he wanted to know because he was concerned about his material situation. Am I going to lose everything? Will my sons be victorious? But Sanjaya was transmitting for our benefit the real essence of that battle. You see, the surrender to and pleasing that the Supreme Person had guided. So, divinities with these imperfections, how dare they try to make some bold statements? Of course, people are easily bewildered. You know, like nowadays, you see we have these nice fancy electronic gadgets. Isn't it so thin? So much, all these books you can put in on this. Just imagine the brain who could invent such a thing. So if he says this is how the world is situated, who's going to argue with him? Why should we listen to these people with ponytails and wearing robes, you know, singing some song on the street? Why should I listen to such rejects of society? This knowledge is actually hidden. It's a hidden knowledge. It's not something openly available. So it can only be revealed by the devotees. And therefore this knowledge, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, has been lost over time. Why? Because somehow or another the non-devotees have taken it and covered it up again by presenting their misinformation, their miscalculations on its conclusions and its understandings. So, being in the situation we are in, what's most important is understanding who are we and where do we come from. What is our real position in life? What is our real purpose in life? Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to enjoy. But what is the perfection of that enjoyment? You see? And the Vaishnavas, they know that perfection. What is that? To enjoy, you want to be in a permanent situation, isn't it? How can you enjoy when you know something is temporary? If I tell you, you can have a beautiful palace with all the trappings, iPod, iPhone, beautiful women, men, nice party, but it only lasts 24 hours. That's actually suffering, isn't it? Because you know it's going to end. You see? So we want permanent situation to be happening to enjoy. Therefore, you must associate with the permanent in order to have that experience. So, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, all of us here have been the opportunity to get the real understanding. I don't know if I had heard this the first time I heard of Krishna consciousness, I may not have become devotee. Because it contradicts everything. And who can argue on this point? Even Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Russia, speaking with Professor Katovsky, some of these discussions came up slightly. So it really comes down to a matter of accepting authority. Doesn't it? Ultimately, why do we accept Krishna consciousness? You look at the personalities who are saying Krishna is God. Look at Srila Prabhupada, even on the material platform. He's a very exalted personality. What to speak of the fact that he was Krishna conscious? Very successful businessman, very cultured person, scholar, very attractive person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was greatly respected before he became a prominent Vaishnava. He was rewarded that title Saraswati because of his learning in astronomy and astrology. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, chief magistrate, he rose to the highest position that an Indian person could rise to at that time in Indian society. And even Arjuna himself, he mentions in the Gita, why he was accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, not only are you revealing this to me, but there's Asita, Devala, Narada, so many others, they also are saying you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if one gets a little bit of faith and engages in this process of devotional service, then gradually Krishna reveals himself fully to him. So this can only be had by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And therefore, the greatest Vaishnavas are those who actually go out. They go out and they take the risk to give this information to others. Just imagine going out and trying to convince one of these scientists, I'm sorry, your understanding is all wrong. You see, you must accept Bhagavatam conclusions. It's like an impossible task, isn't it? Impossible actually exists. This is the problem. That most people do not accept, especially scientists, they will not accept that there is inconceivable. They feel they can conceive of everything. But what is our real position? Analyze it. We're just like little ants. Sri Sri Radha Madhava Astashakti's key. Sri Srinya Bhagavan ki. We're like little ants walking on the street. The size of we're on Parikram and you see so many ants. Also on that Prickron Road. And sometimes you see devotees, of course we're trying to be conscious, we don't want to kill the Dambasis also. So we're trying to be careful. But you can imagine, so many ants are being stepped on. Now how can you explain to those ants that there's 1,000 devotees coming this way? My dear aunt, I think you need to just stay on the side of the road for 1 hour. You see? And just because you can't explain that to them, does it mean that we don't exist? That the Prikram is not coming down the road? No. This is his limitation. Similarly, as human beings, we are very limited. We even see in front of us this body. It's a phenomenon. It's inconceivable how it's functioning. How did it appear? Even if it isn't, it's not a question of religion. A sober person He can see these things, that I am not this body. If you look at it analytically, what is the skin? It's a collection of living entities. The blood, the bones, all these things. I'm just one little part within this body. Even superatomic is like a universe. You see? But Krishna's energies are so powerful that they bewilder us, and we think that actually, yes, I am this arm, this leg. This is me. I am the enjoyer of all I survey. So, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, this illusion can be cut. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva have descended. Two purposes are there. Inner purpose, Krishna, he wants to understand how is it Srimati Radharani is serving me so wonderfully. How is it she's experiencing such higher bliss he's not able to understand? This is Krishna's arrangement through his yoga maya potency. How can you enjoy if you know what's going to happen? You require some element of surprise, isn't it? So we can see this is the original bewilderment, even as reflected here in the material world. Men and women, they can't understand one another, can they? You see thousands of books written on the subject. Practically impossible. So we require this element of surprise. Therefore, he comes in the mood of Radha, and he's able to taste this mood of service. And secondly, he's also giving his love of Godhead for us. So this Krishna conscious movement is also an expansion of that lila. We're here now in this Mayapur Dham, now we're seeing all the various places where this lila has occurred. Similarly, this ISKCON movement is another extension of that lila. Srila Prabhupada being a very exalted devotee, he could have very easily have just sat in Vrindavan, which generally you should do at that advanced age of 70. That's the time to simply hear and chant and prepare to leave. But he boldly went and began this Krishna conscious movement. He took such great risk. No guarantee of success. You see? And he inspired so many other devotees to come and to take up that risk. One of those devotees was His Holiness Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj Ki. To come forward. Also materially speaking, very exalted person. Graduate Princeton University. Not a very easy thing to attend Princeton University. Many people want to go. Great competition to get in that school. Generally the qualification is you must be very academically achieved in the secondary educational level. Not even just that, many of those people are rejected also. But they want to see what is the future of this individual? What is he going to contribute to society? Because Princeton wants to also be able to take the honor and say, oh, yes, this person is a graduate of Princeton. So he achieved that honor of attending and graduating. Of course, they were training him to continue to work with Srila Prabhupada in his preaching mission. And if you look at even how he came to Krishna consciousness, it was every devotee's coming is very unique. Every devotee is very unique in their service. So his was very unique even from the beginning. Myself, I came kind of right near 74, 75. Things were very well established at that time. Devotees come in the 60s, such as Umapati Prabhu is here, a few others. Things were just beginning, very intimate association with Srila Prabhupada, direct instructions, pioneering work. You look at that video of Happiness on Second Avenue. You see Brahmananda there. He's only been in the temple maybe 2 weeks. And he's speaking to the reporter. Yes, we have to spread this Krishna conscious movement. Can you imagine they're sitting in a little storefront in one of the poorest areas of New York? They have maybe, they don't even have Bhagavad Gita at that time. Prabhupada has a few copies of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto only. We have to spread this Krishna conscious movement. Pioneers. Gradually the movement became more established and became more of a formality in a sense. Like when I joined, you fit into a particular program. Okay, you, go do books. You clean the temple. You do this. Yes, sir. Like the army. The temples, actually Prabhupada at one time decided better to make what centers we have very strong. So he kind of halted the expansion, except in foreign countries, especially Eastern Bloc countries. So Bhaktivedanta Swami came at a time, somehow or another, his service was always, he was always given this freedom to be able to serve as he desired. And what's the point of that service? Ultimately, all the devotees, what did we want? At least speaking for myself, I could not say I wanted to save the fallen souls. I was not that advanced or that compassionate. Really, I was more interested in saving myself. And I knew that by trying to save the fallen souls, I will attract Krishna's mercy. So it really wasn't for their benefit. But this is how nice Krishna consciousness is. You can come with those material desires and everyone benefits. Those living entities benefit and we benefit. Everybody gets what they want. It's such a wonderful thing, Krishna consciousness. But Maharaj was able to, in the beginning, he was thinking to work with, Prabhupada was talking about, I think it's 74, he noticed that very, very many black Americans were coming to the movement. And because at that time, America society was somewhat racially divided, segregated. And so there was some attempt for devotees to go to Harlem, which is something yet to be done. It would be nice to have an ISKCON Harlem. But some other devotee had taken up the task, and they were also trying to form another preaching activity that way. But through Krishna's arrangement, some another came in association with Sahasrut Maharaj. And Prabhupada also wanted his books to be in universities, not just distributed on the street. And he became involved in that very successfully, as we know, in distributing those books and getting them placed in universities and libraries. One of the pioneers of that preaching. Working with Hridayananda Maharaj is also, Sahasrut pretty much led that effort. But Hridayananda, I think, was the one that pretty much initiated it because he was traveling with Veer Krishna Maharaj already, trying to preach in the universities. And as we know, he later on took the risk of going into East Bloc countries. Very risky at that time to enter those countries and to preach, to distribute religious ideas. So I'm not going to go into a lot of those details of those pastimes, but I'd like to maybe bring out some things probably not in the book, some personal experience I may have had. Coming as a new devotee, I mentioned how there were not very many devotees from the African American community there. I joined Chicago in 1974. There's probably two of us. So seeing Ghanesham at that time come was very enlivening to see his enthusiasm. I knew then even he was considered, he was very respected devotee because of his preaching in the universities. He knew Prabhupada wanted that done. And as I was leading up to, the devotee's goal really was simply to please Prabhupada. You know? To have Srila Prabhupada come and just say, oh, thank you very much, Sikhi Mahidi, for doing that wonderful service. You see? That was the goal. But by 1974, 1975, most of the big things had already been done. I remember a devotee in Atlanta, Shara Deshna, also another body of African American, one of the first to distribute 200 big books in one day. Of course, nowadays, that's such a big thing, isn't it? But back then, that was, wow, 200 in one day. If you did 20 in one day, that was, oh my God, you did 20 big books in 8 hours. To get 20 people to take, and I was only asking for $5 for one book, if you could. So he did 200. I got to talk about, since I brought it up, he discovered, to me, he really started the Christmas marathon, because generally devotees, they would go out after Bhagavatam class and come back for the evening program, that nice sandwich, during the day preaching. But in the airport, they realized that there's a special, the most traveled day was the day before Thanksgiving, when all the soldiers were being released to go home, and many people in the airport traveling. And this devotee, he somehow or another, he was giving a lot of books out, and he decided to stay out late. He did not come back for the evening program. Matter of fact, he stayed out to Mangalarti, which was considered, you know, Maya, you did not come back for the program. And when he came back, luckily he did 200 books. I think if he came back with 20 books, he would have been probably chastised. And he can't say, I did 200 big books. A letter was sent to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back how pleased he was. So of course, the next marathon, everybody was staying out. They wanted to kind of do more than that to get that attention from Prabhupada. So I think the next thing, result was the marathon in Chicago, where I think they did 5,000, which also is not a big thing nowadays. I think Delhi does that in one factory, right? But 5,000, and the letter was written to, well, actually written to Rameshwar Amudama Shloka, describing the events, and he gave it to Prabhupada, who wrote back to Amudama Shloka, how the devotees were in the airport, fights were breaking out with the carnies. They didn't like us very much in those days, you know. So, but the point was, the devotees really were, just wanted to get Prabhupada's attention. So everyone's thinking, what can I do? So Bhakti Tirtha, very fortunate to be in a position to take up some of these extreme services and be successful at it. You know, if you read the book, you'll see how even at one point he was in prison in Eastern Europe. And he's describing how, you know, he's, well, not prison, but jail, he's eating cabbage and apples. And he says that when you're very hungry, cabbage is very nice. And an apple is the perfect dessert. And Srila Prabhupada is so pleased with that. He's reading the reports. Then what does he do? He calls for him personally. I'll give a contrast of that. And I can remember also, like I mentioned, I wanted somehow or another to get Prabhupada's attention. But I didn't. I'm always making mistakes, but I could do a few things. I think my expertise was, I was very young, 19 years old, somewhat of an athlete. I used to swim, so I had good endurance. So I could run around the intersections all day and persevere that pretty good. I think Prabhupada, he wanted a lot of books distributed at that time. So I think that was my contribution, a couple, 2-3 years of that. Everything else at this point is extra for me. But Maharaja, of course, another desire was I wanted to be able to at least go into the darshan with Prabhupada, which was impossible at that time. Practically only sannyasis, GBC members, could get into that darshan. Or even to get maha. How many people actually had Prabhupada maha? Raise your hand. I know they did. They were invited. So. All they wanted was real. How many? How many saw Prabhupada and didn't get maha? Raise your hand. See? A lot of people didn't even see Prabhupada because we were so surrendered. You know, the temple president said, you stay back. You didn't try Prabhupada, you stay back. Somehow or another, you just thought he would be here forever. I don't know why, you're so naive. I thought he'd always be here. He'll never go. So I'll get my turn eventually. But of course, Krishna had his surprise for us. He took him. So, but anyway, coming to Mayapur the first time, 1977, the desire was so intense. He had been in Chicago for 2 weeks. I was lucky to be able to fan him, at least at the Vyasa time. I kind of cheated and put my head on his feet, which we weren't supposed to do. That's another story. At least he handed me the beads. That was nice. But I wanted to be in that darshan. And so coming to Mayapur, of course, not very many devotees in those days, 500, 600, 700. And I thought, as soon as the bus arrives, let me run to the room because everyone will be busy trying to find their room. So I run up to the room. There's big sannyasi guarding the door, of course. There's this insignificant Sikhi Mahidi. I went to see Srila Prabhupada. Come back for darshan. Yeah, they're never going to let me in. So anyway, I go to the back door. And it's wide open. So, oh, Krishna's mercy. Of course, when you can see, it's very small. So I just sit in the doorway. And I'm so happy. I'm content to actually sit there. And I'm chanting Kalpa, listening to Prabhupada, speaking to some guests. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj just so happened to be in the room. And it's a point in this book that actually I was reading where nice little pastime, he was called back because there was some problem with the library party. They were complaining that he was too heavy. As you know, Maharaj was, he was very, he could perform austerity. He was chanting 32, 48 rounds a day. He'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you see him, he never looked like he was sleepy. I don't know how he... Even as Ganesham, I never remember seeing him sleepy. You never see him sleeping. He was always very humble, very loving. Even those devotees at that time, big devotees, of course they didn't waste time. Remember the big distributors, Tripura, Swami, so many. You know, nobody wasted a moment. They did their service, concentrated on it. And no one really thought, especially the young devotees, you didn't want to really interrupt them or approach them, you know. They seemed a little unapproachable. But Maharaj seemed so open that he could easily just drag him over and talk to him and he would give you his realizations and encouragement. So I remember that of him. So in this room, I'm sitting there in the doorway. I'm happy. And Maharaj sees me and says, come on in. So I go, wow, it's a mercy. And I go in the corner, and I know I'm not supposed to be there, so I sit as far back as I can. I'm just chanting, and not trying to disturb anything, and Prabhupada sitting there behind the desk. And then Maharaj goes out the back door and leaves. And finally, those two people, they were local people, they had pants and shirt on, they get up to leave. And then Maharaj, the sannyasi opens that door to let them out, he sees me sitting there. And I look at him, he looks at me, so I just looked at Prabhupada, please don't kick me out. Let me stay a little longer. Somehow or another, I hear the door close. And it's just me and Prabhupada in the room. So, of course, Prabhupada is going through his routine. He has his leg up. And he's, you can see at the time he's becoming more ill. His Leela is winding down, I guess. And he just closes his eyes and he rests. I don't know, maybe he's in samadhi. The mind material vision. It was like he's taking a nap. And I got to stay in that room for a long time. Many devotees coming in and out. And it was very nice. I was speaking to Brahmananda about this. And he was looking at me with a little surprise. And he says, because at one point, this is many years later, I was feeling a little kind of unsatisfied. And he's thinking, I'm in this room with Prabhupada. I'm so excited, I didn't even think about it. So the fact that he didn't speak to me. He didn't even look at me. At least I didn't see him looking at me. And I'm thinking, wow, he didn't even speak to me and look at me. I'm so fallen. You know? So, man, I wasn't really at that point of where he was so pleased with me that he went, oh, how are you? What are you doing? And things like that. And Prabhupada's a transcendental personality. He's not like a mundane person. If someone's there, you have to speak to him, don't you? You have to acknowledge him. He's on a transcendental level, he's not mundane. And Brahmananda says to me, he said, you should be lucky that he let you sit there that long. Normally he didn't like devotees sitting around doing nothing. He usually make them go do some service. So I can only think that really is because he was so pleased with Bhaktivedanta Swami, and he saw him invite me in, that he got me saved. So by Maharaj's mercy, I was able to at least get one of those desires fulfilled. But that shows how he was so pleased with him because of the sacrifices he was making. You see, this is the perfection of our life. To have the Guru to look at you with such loving feelings because of the service attitude of the devotee. So how do we do that? Do we just chant Hare Krishna, have nice festivals? You know, Krishna consciousness is so nice, you can just attend a Sunday program. It's nice, isn't it? So nice. Sometimes we get in that material mode. You know, the material mode is when something's nice, don't disturb it. Keep it the same. So don't do too much, don't do too little. Let us enjoy the moment. I don't want to take any risks. But you have to take some risks. You see? We have to do things beyond what have already been done. Someone has to step forward and do that. That's how you get the attention of the Guru, that's Krishna and Prabhupada. I can remember also in that darshan, Prabhupada was speaking. I've never seen him like that, because usually in America he was always kind of jovial. But in the room he was speaking so grave. I've never seen that before. I think Pankajani was telling me that generally in Mayapur he was pretty grave all the time, right? Someone told me in their experience he seemed to be very serious. So many devotees began to come in the room and began to fill up, and they were very serious tone. Everybody was kind of, oh, okay, let's hope I'm not doing something wrong. And then at one moment I remember the door opens and there was the Matajis from America, part of the Nuvindavan traveling Sankirtan party. Some people may not be aware of this, but many of the ladies make great sacrifices also for the spreading of this Christian consciousness. There's a party, I think, of at least four ladies who lived in a van and would travel to sell books and collect money. And just like the men, they were sleeping at the gas stations, taking bath at the gas station. You know, can you imagine? Especially, I think, for Bengali ladies, who would do such a thing? No respectable lady is going to sleep in the van and go out and approach people to sell books. And at that time, you need to realize also, even in Chicago, I think we were collecting almost $2,000 a day in books, sales. Yet we lived in such a dilapidated building. The sewage would sometimes come up out of the thing into the temple room, so you have to keep a pump there. But that wasn't anyone's thing. Let's take this money and build ourselves a nice temple. Well, I think most of that money was coming to India at that time. So indirectly, these ladies were collecting for this place, making huge sacrifices. And so those ladies, I remember the door opening, and kind of sheepishly stuck their head in to see if they could come in. And Srila Prabhupada caught a glance of them. And immediately he just lit up. He was so happy. He was smiling, telling people, move, let them through. Make room, let them come. And he was squeezing people to the point that some people had to leave and sit down right here. And the whole room just changed. So he was so happy. So lesson learned I got from that is, and, you know, chanting 16 rounds, following four Gita principles, yes, this is very nice. It's a great tapasya. But we have to rise to that, at least the Majjhim level. Let us take some risk and spread this Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, this is his mood. Taking great risks. Who is Nityananda Mahaprabhu preaching to? Jagai Maharaj. Even going back two times, right? I told him, if you come back, we will beat you. What did he do? He came back. Hitting on the head with a bottle. So, this is ISKCON movement. Look at all these successes in ISKCON. They were made how? Great sacrifice. The devotees here in Mayapur fighting dacoits. Imagine the first devotees coming here, sitting out in that hut. There's no running water, there's no electricity, there's no money. I heard Mataji would go across the Ganga to beg to get food, to bring back to cook. Can you imagine? Here's a white body lady trying to negotiate price of boga. You can't win. They see you as goddess of fortune. You're not going to pay the regular price. But Prabhupada is like, don't waste money, don't waste money. She told me, why did you spend so much? Impossible task. Mata Duisa was telling me, I said, I'm sure somebody got sick at that time because you're coming from America. He goes, yeah, we would just lay there in the field looking at the sun, vomiting sometimes. And Prabhupada would just come with a cane, get up, get up. And this is what we should be striving for. Especially in America, it's very difficult to get things going in America. I don't know, it's a different kind of Maya. Well, that is, of course, this is Mayapur Dham and there is Kali Dham. That's her headquarters. So that attack on the main headquarters, of course, she's going to fight back very strongly. So, I don't know, we need some devotees to go back there and help us with that fight. The Dhani Maharaj is here constantly there preaching, which is very glorious, and that, having his big Sankirtan party, which is distributing most of those books. So we thank him for that service. So, but wherever you are, please, let us. Ultimately, we're going to die anyway, aren't we? Everybody's going to leave their body. So why should we already did? So why should we be concerned about trying to protect this body? Better to voluntarily sacrifice it for the Sankirtan mission. That's more glorious, isn't it? How can you repay the debt that has been that we have for being saved? Our going back home, back to God, is guaranteed. You chant 16 rounds, follow 4 good principles, Srila Prabhupada says, it'll take you back to God. So let us take these risks like Bhaktivedanta Swami. Okay? Even in the end, how is he praying? He could see the suffering that ISKCON Gurukul children were going through and being disconnected. And I can remember Maharaj was thinking, how can he fix that? And he's even praying, let all their reactions come on me. Of course, some people may have thought, well, that's sentimental prayer. How can you pray like that? Because also they thought. But I mean, generally, he actually felt that way. I was with him in a hospital when he had his leg cut off because it was so diseased and crippled. And he's thinking, okay, maybe that's the part that's going to take some of that suffering from the devotees. It's now cut off. But we can take that example of his and the example of so many others. Therefore, he's being honored and celebrated today, not out of some sentiment, but because Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with him. Even he called for him, even in the end, when he was in London, he called for him. He said he wasn't calling for Sikhi Mihididas, for so many others. So we can take these examples and let us try to push on this Krishna conscious movement. So today they're going to, after the program, I believe, immediately, or are we going to have the program to the Samadhi site, Prabhu? I'm talking to you, trying to hide back there. I think at 11 o'clock at Yoga Pit, there'll be the other program. So if you want to say something about what's going to happen today. How many disciples of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj are here? Please raise your hand. What do you mean?
His Holiness Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Ki. So we'd like to thank His Grace Sikhi Mahiti Prabhu for giving Srimad Bhagavatam class and also touching on some of his recollection of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. Sikhi Mahiti Prabhu served with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj in West Africa when Bhaktivedanta Swami first started the service in that area. And so he was one of those first devotees there. So thank you very much for that. So, it is now 9:02. At 9:30, we will convene in front of this courtyard, in front of the temple, and have a procession to the Samadhi of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. at which time we'll receive his shoes and come back around Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi and reconvene at the Panchatattva Extension. And the program will start there in recollection and glorification of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami at 10:30. All are invited to please come and share in that glorification ceremony. And at 12 o'clock, we will have the Pushpanjali followed by Arati and Guru Puja and Kirtan. So please, you're all welcome and invited to come share in this blessed day with us. Thank you again. Hare Krishna. And His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Madhava ki, Panchatattva ki, Srila Bhagavan ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande.